Father, we come to you again this day. We thank you for the privilege to call upon your precious name. We thank you, Lord, for the hour we can come and worship you. And dear Lord, we come this morning in the weather like it is, but we're grateful to come to know that in the house of God is warm. Dear Father, the presence of the Holy Spirit is here, representing our Savior and our Father. And we pray that you'd anoint us in a way that we could speak thy word with clarity. Hearts we bless, help us lead, being closer to thee, because our knowledge has increased some. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated and take your Bibles and be turned to Matthew chapter 6. I want to say this morning, I believe this is one of the best times in studying a message for weeks that I've had in a good while. Though I love to study, study becomes wearisome, but there are certain subjects and times that God gives you that you pursue to study, and it opens up a whole new feel about who God is. And I want to take my time. I could have divided this in two messages, but I'm going to try to get it in one message. We live in an age today, you heard me say, there's a lot of voices getting our attention. We live in an age that people believe about anything that you could think of as far as life is concerned. My concern, though, as a Christian and as a human being, is what are we here for? What's happening? Where we're going? Time that we've been inserted in. There's some things about that I don't completely understand yet. And the God that we trust, you can't even see with the physical eye. And so man down through the years has done some crazy things, which God forbidden to do in the Old Testament, made their own gods. You go back in the history and you find that you get back in Egyptian Assyrian days, they had weird different gods, had different types of heads and animals, and you may have part fish and part four-legged animal, or some weird thing sitting on a pole, or sculpture in some type of rock. You move on to the Romans' day, and they got away from weird animals and started making men gods and started making statues of men that where they began to worship. And I think there's probably that God allowed that in his permissive will, simply because Satan knows that most people, as they get smarter, get away from believing in things that they create in their own hands in the sense of some mystical figure that's a half bird, half animal, half whatever, and worship, or put something on a totem pole and bow down and worship it. So he began to arrange it so that since man is made in the image of God, he began to make figures out of men themselves, and then man would give man this authority to be a god or contribute to him to be a god, and from there they'd bow down to statues and things like that. And then we know that when Jesus came, he was a man. He was God, so he'd already prearranged in Romans' day that they'd have other men that'd be gods and bow down to. So when Jesus came and began to present himself not only as He didn't present himself as a God, but as the God, the Son of God. And man had trouble with that. See, a God that you make, you really let it bow down to you. You may, in essence, act like you bow down, but you make that God what you want it to be, so you're not afraid of him. Hey! But when Jesus came, he began to declare himself to be the Son of God. And they didn't like that. They were afraid of that. Because if he was the Son of God, then all their gods they had were not true, and therefore they had to pay tribute to somebody someday in the future. So how do we unravel all of this? Amazing visit this past week, my wife and I were on visitation. And this subject came up, and I'd already been preparing for it. And it really amazes me how that even today, people have the ideas about who God is and what they believe in. For instance, you hear people say, you ask, do you believe in Jesus Christ? You ask a person who is in Hinduism, and they've heard about him probably. They say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I also believe in Hinduism. Someone says, well, Jesus Christ? Yes, but I believe in Jesus Christ, but also believe in Buddhism. You believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, but also believe in Islam. In other words, what they do is put Jesus equal to their gods rather than let him be the God. And so what happened, their ideas about God is default. It is in a situation where that they cannot really see the true and living God because he's got to be on their level. God is above their level. So I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Listen, God's idea on earth. God's idea on earth. It's an amazing thing when we look at this, what God is doing. First of all, God said when He called Israel out that they were not to make gods in Exodus 20 of any graven image, not like anything in this earth, in heaven, in the earth, in the water, under the earth. In other words, God said, there's nothing that you've seen that I made that will make, that you can look at and make an image that you think I look like. And then if you go over, if you look that in verse 4, He says that. In verse 23 of Exodus, He also says, not make anything out of silver or gold. That is, there's nothing that you can use to make an image to fit who you think I look like. You have not seen me. You've only seen the evidence. So when you begin to make gods that you want to look at, you make them to your mentality and not according to my instructions. So Israel, I've called you out. Don't you make a god that you can set up to worship at or through. Because you've not seen anything in heaven and the earth, or under the earth, in the water, anywhere else that resembles me. You've seen the power that I have, but you've seen nothing resembling me. Don't you make it out of gold, silver, nothing else. Why? Because God says, I will reveal myself to you through a system of words. God thinks. He's not like something you put on a pole that has no mouth and can't think or can't talk and can't reason. God reasons. God understands. God motivates. God's involved with people's lives. Not something that we make and suddenly we want it so involved. We make it like we want it. Therefore, it becomes more what we want than what we need. And what happens is, in our particular day, it's gone even further, that now not only has it got, today it can be anything. Most of the time, it is anything in this life that we have that we feel like that we make God that we need. Many times it's things. It's not just a figure on a totem pole. It's not just an individual at a statue somewhere or another, though they're around. But someone says, well, I thank God. I don't bow down to a totem pole. I thank God. I don't bow down to any type of stature, but we bow down to things. Well, I mean, preacher, yes, if anything keeps you out of what God wants you to do, you bow down to it. Right. Now, the God has no difference in these things. Now watch as we look at this morning. What is God's idea on this earth? Ladies and gentlemen, God is a spirit. And some things that He wanted to do when He made things in matter that where He was going to make His kingdom. Look with me first of all in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Jesus' prayer. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Boy, His name is very important. Hallowed be thy name. Reverence, honor. His name is holy. Here Christ prays, a type of prayer, and watch the next verse in verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. He's talking about a kingdom. He's talking about a will. He says, thy kingdom, God's kingdom, thy will be done. Watch. And then He says, in earth as it is in heaven. That's fairly plain. I'm breaking it slowly. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Or thy will, He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If I understand it, God is fixing to do something, or is doing something in this prayer, Jesus prayed, that He who is a spirit has a kingdom. And His will, in this new manifestation of His power in created matter, where He makes man the ultimate image of God in what we call flesh from the dust of the ground, His will is to be done in earth as it is in heaven. The very same thing that God wants done in heaven, He wants done in the earth. Now turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, and look down about verse 8 and verse 15. In verse 8, God, verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then He says in verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward of in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. So now we know, go back and we see creation been made, everything that God called and brought into existence and made matter, molecule, atoms, molecules, and matter, and now there's a design of matter in such a way, now he's formed man from the dust of the ground, blew into the breath of life, and he's placed him in a place he called the Garden of Eden. If you look over again with me in verse 15, he says, "And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So I see God put him in a garden to dress it and to keep it. I also know that God put him here on this earth to replenish it. We'll look at some other things in just a moment. Now turn to Psalm 115 as I give you through the scriptures. And you're going to see God's plan and purpose literally unfolding his ideas here on this earth. In Psalm 115, look down about verse 16. He said, "The heaven and even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men." In other words, God has not the sense that we own it. We own nothing. He owns it all. Someone said, "Well, bless God, I own it while I'm here, but you just one heartbeat and it's gone to somebody else." By the way, God's never going to die, so he owns it all. He just lets us be good stewards of it here. It's supposed to be good stewards while we're here. Whatever we have will not be ours one day. The only thing we'll have is what we lay up treasures in heaven that he's promised about. I'm getting down to realization of understanding who God is and what he sent to us in words that we might hear from him. And not only did he give us words, which God himself, the written word reveals the living word, and Jesus is the living word, and God is showing us he speaks to us. He's made us to understand words, and he's documented his words that we may learn more about him. We see the evidence of his power. We don't know really who he is until we read his word. If you look in Isaiah chapter 65, you'll see again, in Isaiah chapter 65, look down about verse 17. God said, "For I, behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to into mind." Interesting. Created the first, something must have happened. We know what happened. And here he comes to a period of time, some probably maybe 5,000 years, he comes, about 3,000 years, plus he comes to a time and he says through Isaiah, "I'm going to remake the earth. I'm going to make it new, have a new heaven, a new earth." Something must have happened. Also, if you look with me in Philippians chapter 3 and see what the Apostle Paul has to say, and then we'll tie it all together in just a few moments. Paul said this in chapter 3, verse 10, "That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." Hey, some people need to read that. Paul, if any other than the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone else could say after say that Paul lived a perfect life, he did. But he said, "I don't consider myself living that way as of right now. I'm not attained perfection in the sense of the flesh." Go to Romans 7, you see why. He has a lot of trouble battling with the flesh. But he said, "I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus." He said he's not reached his goal yet. He's reaching forward to the fact of laying hold of what Christ himself is presenting. He's learning, he's growing, but one day he'll be delivered. And when he gets it, he'll meet the place he wants to be. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." That's the laid hold of everything yet, what he's talking about. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul was saying, when I got saved, I don't live back there where I got saved. I don't want to forget where I got saved, but I don't live there. I need to be stronger now than I were the day I got saved. And I don't live where I'm at right now. If I live with my circumstances now and don't see what God intends for me, then I will become selfish and full of pride, and things will bother me here. I can't live in the past, for though I won't never grow. And I can't allow myself to be so taken up with where I'm at now, with my own intellect and things, because I'll become selfish and proud and those things. Paul said, "No, I'm pressing forward. Literally, I'm reaching. I've urged to compel. I press, urge, compel. I pursue the mark, the goal, pressing forward to a goal." And he knows it. He said, "For the prize of the high calling of God." Where's it at? In Christ Jesus. So now we see man being created. We see him fall. We have a story more so than even some of the Old Testament had. We have a complete story We see that God is working out a plan. He's given us words to understand that we can understand Him and what He's doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you, look at any other religious system in this world and look from Genesis to Revelation what God's done, and it won't even come close to it. Even God has a sequence through. He creates man. We see that and understand man failed. Now He begins to bring man back through a redemption process as He works over periods of years to come for His Son, calls out a nation from that hip the genealogy so His Son could be born, the perfect sacrifice. Every other religion has things that man has to do to appease their God. In Christianity, we see what God has done to save individuals who will trust Him. The difference is, it don't take long with the intellectual look at, with the Holy Spirit behind it and the Word of God to convince us that God is had an idea on this earth that's going to climax one day into a new heaven and a new earth and a kingdom that you'll be able to see not only in the spiritual world, but in the physical world. Right now, you can't see God's spiritual kingdom with the physical eye. So God said, I'm going to set up a man. Create a man in my image on earth. And when I put him on the earth, I will develop a spiritual kingdom that no one can see because God is a spirit. They worship him, must worship him in spirit and truth. John 4 tells us. And so here he creates that man and he says, that's my image. And I'm going to bring an invisible world through a visible world through my image. I'm going to make him ruler. He will dominate everything on the face of the earth. I will give him the authority from me. He's my image. I will give him that authority and he will let my kingdom be revealed in a physical world through my image. But the sad part about it, Satan got to his image and offered him something that caused man to fall. And the image was distorted. And Jesus has to redeem it back, or God has to redeem it back. And that's what we see. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And he put man in the garden when he made him to dress it. He also put him to replenish it and have dominion. We see in his creation. He had give earth to the children that they may be good stewards of it. He'll create a new heaven and new earth for that new redemption, those redeemed that he redeems out of the earth, which will sometime come in the future. Now listen to me. God thinks. God's idea on earth, according to Matthew 6:10, is as it is in heaven. That is his principles. Everything about God is the same. He doesn't change just because he makes a man of the dust. He doesn't give a new society a new ring just because he makes things out about, makes matter and things in matter. He's the same God in the spiritual world that he is in the matter, in the physical world. He doesn't change. But we like to think he changes in the physical world. But we can't, the world philosophically can't understand him because they don't have the Spirit of God. An idea, God's idea in earth as is in heaven. An idea is a conceived thought that becomes the foundation of a concept. And a concept develops into a mental image and produces a product. An idea can be the source of creation. But creation itself is the manifestation of an idea. You won't do nothing today without an idea. Whatever you do because you thought to do it. Not me. The only time you want is when you're asleep. You don't function without some thought. You can't even drive a car without thought. Now, sometimes you put it in neutral and not go where you want to go, I guess. I'm talking about you've done that. You drive and you know, you say, oh, I've done this in my routine. All of a sudden, I want to go to Walmart and end up at Kmart, you know. Sometimes you have routines of things of doing and you know, it. But I'll tell you, it'll still be a thought. Still be a thought. God had an idea to make man into his own image. Man that would see matter and couldn't see the spiritual world. I think this is unique. I think this is great of God. God is doing something he never done before. Every angel he made was spiritual world. Everything else before he turned his past had been those spiritual world. But now he's doing something a little bit different and puts an image called man, his image called man, in the crown of his creation. When a thought is conceived, You can cultivate into a theory to set forth a philosophy. And because we're in God's image, man is doing that. His thoughts form philosophy rather than godly conditions of his life. A philosophy forms the foundation of a belief system. And that's what happened. Why do people believe in Buddhism? Because somewhere or another, there was an idea conceived into a thought, in turn that came a concept, which in turn, this thought idea conceived, cultivated into a philosophy, and that philosophy led into a belief system. And you've got these little pockets of belief system everywhere. It started with somewhere back idea, looking something about God, but refusing to look and seek the true God. They'd rather have someone to satisfy the flesh than them to satisfy God in the flesh. And so here, a belief system becomes the motivator of our behavior and a response to life in our environment. And so when a person said, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I also believe I'm also a Buddhist, they'll simply say that I believe Jesus no more than a philosophy. He's more than a philosophy. He's a reality. Amen. Everything about Buddha is false. I know people who believe in that system don't believe that, but it's true if you look at words and let God explain Himself through the Scriptures. And so we find a belief system becomes the motivator of our behavior in response to our life and environment. Now, our planet spins under the power of ideas. Everything going in Washington right now is someone's idea. Most of it's not ours. Amen? That's all there is to it. By the way, they know we can never get there. We don't have the money to get there. That's right. No one can ever go like Abraham Lincoln years ago and get there without money. You know that? I hope you know that. These ideas become the source of our conditions on earth. All humanity on earth is guided and regulated by ideas. Even our laws and our legislation are products of ideas which set the standard of our social and cultural way of life in our society. Simply this, all humanity on earth is guided and regulated by ideas. That forms a concept, and that in turn produces a product. And what we're seeing is a product that's anti-God today because of an idea started out by God that was wrong. It just proves everything anti-God. So God's voice coming, His time to fight all of these voices. See, this idea of a concept that leads into a belief system can literally be anything. You can have 1,000 different belief systems. You can't have but one true God. You can't have but one Jesus Christ. There's not but one Christianity. So we're fighting a battle, and God said, you got to use my words. That's the reason you got to be a suit of this book. Use my words against that at that time. Again, the fundamental need that humanity needs to govern themselves comes from the idea, thought, philosophy, concept. Simple that. That leads to a belief system. Why are there so many belief systems? Because there's an idea, thought, philosophy, concept. A concept of the philosophy led to that belief system back there somewhere. Not someone started. By the way, and once you ever start something, it'll never die. Not until God destroys it. It'll keep coming back. I mean, listen. When you think about the laws and legislation of products and ideas, you think about equality and justice and peace and love and unity and respect and values and struggles of meaning and hope and just and reason and understanding of life. All of these that we know of today are the idea, thought, philosophy, concepts that develops into one of these eras. So what is, when you name these things, what is equality? What is justice? What is peace? What is love? What is respect and value and struggle for meaning? What is hope? What is reason? What is understanding life? Depend whose idea you follow. And without God, you really don't know. Without God, you hear and you die, and that's about it. But God uses His thought to cultivate our hearts and minds in a new creation in the age of grace to see not only here, but beyond this life by faith. What a joy when we see that in this life. Ideas are behind democracy. Ideas are behind socialism, communism, imperialism. Ideas are behind dictatorship and all other religions. But hear me, ladies and gentlemen. Christianity is not just an idea. Christianity is that it has a resurrected Lord. Amen. Which lives and helps us by His Spirit through His Word. Let me give you three quick points about God's idea on earth. I believe this will destroy anyone's philosophy if they'll listen and let the Holy Spirit help them. We're creatures to try to understand what God's doing. But so many times Satan gets us on point gets us by our nose and gets us off an idea and a philosophy over here that sounds so good. And since it's as good as anything else that you've heard other than what that Bible says, we say it must be all right. It must be all right. And then all of a sudden you have a debate about it. And this one says what I believe, they didn't believe it. Yeah, I know. But we can get along anyhow because all of us have the same goal, to get to God. All of us have the same goal, to go where He's at. And somebody comes along and says, wait, if you want to go where He's at, you've got to go through Jesus Christ. He's not any not one idea of their philosophy at all is Christ in that. It's always somebody else. So the first thing you've got a problem of resistance against those who believe that Jesus Christ is the only way you can get to where God's at. 3 points quickly. First of all, God's ideas are so great that they conflict with fallen man's ideas. Ideas are more powerful than death, because they can and do outlive men and are hard to destroy. Ideas can be transferred and live on for generations. A man can die, but the idea live on. It's interesting. Like imperialism or communism or socialism or democracy, or dictatorship or monarchy. These all come from ideas in the past due to the falling of humanity. And they come for the destruction of humanity. Man keeps reviving them. Kill the man, keep reviving. Hey, it amazes me. Let me give you an example. When did Madame O'Hara do what she did about Christian schools? Back in the 60s. She's dead now. But every once in a while on the internet, that letter will show up again. And people have thousands of signed a letter that was done in the 60s, which already thousands have signed, thinking it's fresh. It just keeps showing up. So do these ideas. A man starts something, somebody revive it. Satan will have somebody to revive it. It may be any one of these things. When you talk, terrorism is an idea peddled by extremists. And by the way, we will never get away from terrorism now unless Jesus comes back. It started, put it down, it'll come up again. These are someone's ideas. You don't stop an idea just because somebody that started it is put away. It will revive. They're the things that Satan smothers for a period of time and then reveals to create chaos in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is not what we see here with our physical eyes. God's kingdom has been manifested through you and I who are saved. God's kingdom includes Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. God's kingdom includes the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. The world can't see Him. The only thing they can see is you and I, as God's kingdom is manifested through us. No wonder this Bible says so much about how we should live and what we should do to manifest that kingdom. Wars are won against ideas by an idea. A war starts on an idea against an idea. And so you got an idea destroying an idea. Thinking, you overcome it, and then later you got two ideas popping up somewhere else because it just keeps motivating that way in this particular life. I'm talking about God's idea on earth is not like man's idea is. Man is in chaotic condition. When God created man, God chose to expand His ideas. He chose to influence them. Dominion, given dominion from the spiritual to the natural world. God chose to expand His ideas from the invisible to the visible. God chose to expand. He established an outpost on earth of heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is the standard, not this earth. We get from God the Ten Commandments, which is the standard from Him. That's the way things are run in heaven. And He gives it to us on this earth that we can see. And He gives us His Word. It seems that God was going to populate this earth, this place called earth, with His own creation through procreation. He set up when He made Adam and Eve, they could procreate. That is, that they would have children down through the ages. And as He did that, Genesis 2:8 and verse 15, I just read to you to start with, gives God's intention and purpose for putting man here on this earth. Look after the garden in Genesis 1:28, talk about to replenish the earth, have dominion over everything. The animals, the fish of the sea, the waters, everything. Man must have dominion. That is, he would be the instrument of God to rule in holiness. But when sin entered in, man tries to rule now in a fallen state, and he's messed everything up. Why? Because Satan is his God in some form made by man rather than the true God of heaven. God did not intend to create the earth and then leave it empty. Just like He don't save us and leave us by ourselves. God envisioned a field, the earth filled with a variety of life ruled by His image, man. No one voted God into power. Psalms 103, verse 19, God's throne is in heaven. His kingdom ruleth over all, it says. In Isaiah chapter 45, may I read to you in chapter 45 in verse 5, and he said through 9, he said, I am the Lord, and there is none else. You hear that? There's none else. That's what he says. He says, there is no God besides me. He says, I girded thee through, though thou hast not known me, that thou may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that thou is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I formed the light and created darkness. I made peace, created evil. I, the Lord, do all things. Created evil means He allowed that. When sin came, it causes different things. When He allowed man to sin, He allowed the product of sin until He could put sin away. That means simply that He allowed the evil or created the evil, meant the sorrow and the adversity and all the problems we have, the calamities, the sorrow and the wickedness and so forth. These are the sure product of sin. And God said, time will come that He'll put all that where it's supposed to be. And He will. He'll keep His word. You can mark it down. No one, again, could vote God into power. Here's the thing. God gave rulership of this creation to man. But hear this. He never gave ownership. You and I don't have the ownership. If He did, if we had ownership, He could never take it away from us. We're stewards. You say, God do anything. No, God's a just God. It's a just God. And so therefore, God gave us the right. By the way, this earth, if be here till God destroys it. You and I may try to destroy it. The only way it'd be destroyed in God's permissive will if He allowed man to do it, but He's not. He's going to do it Himself. And so therefore, He owns what He created. Now, He allows us and lends it out to us, and we're here for periods of time. But the world looks at it. Man, I got what I got, and I worked hard for it. You may have. You may got it that way, but it's still God's. Your stewardship. You're one who looks after it while the master is away. And when you die at one heartbeat, it will go to somebody else to look after. But one of these days, it'll go right back to God. Amen. And He says, Isaiah, I'm going to make a new heaven and earth. That means the old one's got to be done away with. And Peter says it's going to do it. If you own it, he can never burn it. If He gave you the ownership. God believes in keeping His word. That's what I like about that, because He says, I'm not my own since I've been saved. I belong to a new owner. I'm His, and so are you if you're saved. Hey! There's no way Satan can change that transaction. If it's true. But God keeps His word. Now our lives are stewardship before Him until we get to heaven. Again, Eden operated under God's moral code. Perfect harmony. As long as Eden operated under the moral code that God gave Adam and Eve, had perfect harmony. I can't imagine what it's like. But sometimes I sit in the darkness and I think, Lord, what would it have been like? Adam and Eve knowing that God was going to come each day and visit with them. Their creator. Understanding they couldn't exist without Him. And Eve and Adam talking, well, it's about time for Him. He generally comes about the same time. You see Him? Oh, He's not yet. Oh, we just can't wait. We just can't wait. Isn't it a joy when He comes down? The God of this universe takes the time to come down and visit us. And every day they long for the visit of God. But something happened. Something destroyed that desire. Sin. Folks, it'll destroy it. If you're saved, it'll destroy the desire of your relationship to the Lord. That's right. Even if you're saved. And one day they came, God came, and they were gone. They weren't delighted to see Him anymore. They ran, knowing that their nakedness was there, they tried to clothe themselves. You know the story. It goes on from that. This kept Adam and Eve from becoming law unto themselves, and they fail. Now they do what they want to do due to sin. And the result they have is chaos. The result they have is disorder, anarchy, due to sin. They're kicked out of the garden. And then instead of producing a child that's holy, Adam and Eve has trouble in their family. One son's a murderer. The other one dies by the brother's hand. Chaos. Why? Due to sin. Due to sin. God's idea of conflict would fall to man's ideas. The second thing, and I've got to hurry. I'll try to get it in quick. Satan brought disorder when he seized control of Adam's life. Pride, envy, and greed, and selfish, and hatred, and religion, which reduced life from principles of God to empty rites and rules and rituals. God clearly states in His Word that man's problems is due to sin. It's not due to some physical, philosophical problem. It's due to sin. Religion was humanity's solution for its global conflict. But religion is not a peaceful prospect. Religion is full of conflict. Religions fight religious people all the time. With religion, the very life of our culture is at stake. Culture over religion has power to shape man's thoughts and his values and his behavior and his beliefs. Even in America, we see that. Look at what our forefathers said and look at where we're at today. America has a rich historical heritage of faith in the Lord. But today, with the highest percentage of Christians claiming to be Christians, we have more than 500,000 legal abortions every year. Legal. You don't know how many is not legal. Think about the children that could be giants for God or great leaders in this country. Think of what happened. We don't know. Only God knows in every potential of life what it could be. The word family has been redeemed or even redefined to mean anything that anybody wants it to mean. Here, whosoever controls the mind of people in a culture creates or controls the culture. And Satan knows that every wrong thought will lead to a wrong belief because it starts with a wrong idea. And the most effective way to change a culture is to change the law, and that's what's happening. Our culture is changing fast because the laws have been changed. And ladies and gentlemen, once the law is made, we're caught in it. Once the law is made, we're bound. You see, there's no penalty unless there's no law. And if there's a law, there's a penalty. Then enforce the law. And when God allows in an evil world for laws to be made against Him, we who stand for Him will suffer the penalty, just like the book Fox Books of Martyrs did. Law eventually becomes except normal because laws force us into control. And today, men legalize sin trying to ease their conscience, and we're seeing it all the time. The bulk of our nation is not for what's going on. That's outside of Christianity. But laws are making us being controlled in our nation to have to be under such mess. So again, God's idea of conflicts would follow men's idea. And Satan brought disorder, and when he seized control of Adam's life, he distorted God's ideas. And with where we're at today, the third one, notice God's cultural versus follow man's culture. That's where we're at. The battle has always been there, but more so today than ever. Culture comes from a Latin word which means to cultivate. God's culture is a culture of power, provision, possibilities that creates a society that's totally unique in this life. A society you cannot see like we see our physical world, but we can see it through God's people as He is allowed to control them. And even God's laws are not to restrict us. Say, well, the Ten Commandments, you're just in a harness. No, God never gave a law to restrict us. God gives law to protect us. It is a protection shield. It's ensure us to God as God's culture fills this earth. Fallen man's culture is an act of disobedience. Fallen man's culture imposes our fallen culture of hatred and murder and deceit upon everybody, declaring independence from God and declaring independence from God's culture. Fallen man's culture is denying God's existence in order to live an ungodly life without fear of judgment. Why would man fear anything in the future and not live like an animal if there's no judgment? But he's above an animal. He's given account. But we miss that. So the word earth has to do with the location he's talking about. He formed man from the dust of the ground. The word world has to deal with who is running things in the universe. And he's doing that. I'm glad to know what I know about him. I don't care what happened. He's still in charge. And it couldn't happen. Couldn't happen. I like what Brother Tyson said. Went to the buses the other day. Anything that took place when we went back, felt God's will because we believe God's looking after us. And I really believe that too. And that was a great statement, Brother Tyson. I'll tell you about it a little bit later. Just amazing how you just have to say, you know, God, we did the right thing and here's where we're at. And we trust you for just what you did. Thank God for that. So God rules all things directly from heaven. But on earth, God will rule indirectly through his image, man. This way, we'll never hear the gospel until Jesus comes back, except through God's people, man. We have the responsibility. He's given us the indictment, the charge to get this gospel to the world. He didn't give it to the saints or didn't give it to the angels. He's not even doing it himself as far as appearing to people. And maybe once in a while there's something that takes place, but he's giving it to the church. We are the church. God makes it clear that human government exists only by his permission. He ordained it for the protection of the welfare of the human society until he could fully restore his government so you can see it in the glorified body one day in the future. God guides human history. He guides human destiny towards his desire. If you look with me in Isaiah again, chapter 45, it is interesting what he says in verse 22 and 23. God said, look unto me, in verse 22, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And when Paul wrote that to Philippians, he said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. For the glory of God. Isaiah didn't know anything much about what was going to happen, but that verse was used to identify with Jesus Christ when he came. Human empires rise and fall, but God's kingdom stands forever. God's kingdom is in order. Everything else is in disorder. Today, by grace, God has to cleanse us from within so that the Holy Spirit can come into our hearts, abide in us, because he'll not live there without that new creation. I'll tell you that. Too much sin. The new creation. You see, you and I who have been saved, the Holy Spirit can live in the new creation because it's the new creation where no sin's at. Sin operates in the body when we allow it. There has been a spiritual circumcision made, a cutting away the filth of the flesh, the Bible puts it, in that order. So God's kingdom is in order. And God Almighty is literally cleansing us from within through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit draws us to the Lamb of God and brings God's kingdom out through us in this evil world. Let us let God's culture ring supreme and in and through us till Jesus Christ comes back for the church. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the glorified body will be fashioned in such a way that even Israel will be able to see us, though they're in physical bodies. Both worlds will be intertwined at that particular time. We must take on Christ's attitude and know in His mind and thinking. This is done by renewing our mind. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may know what is that good and perfect, accepted will of God. You see, truth sets us free. The world don't understand that, but truth sets us free. And keep in mind, you cannot rejoice in what your mind has rejected. That's the reason people rejoice in religion, but they can't rejoice in Christ. You reject Him, you can't rejoice in Him. You have to accept Him. Christianity is not a crutch. It's not just a doctrine. If a person believes in just the doctrine, they'll end up and go to hell. That's why I say, oh yeah, I believe Christ rose from the dead. They believe the doctrine. But do you really believe that He rose from the dead to believe in the person? That's the difference. Christianity is not a crutch. It's not a doctrine. It's a sure foundation, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, talking about the house being built on a rock and on the sand. It's also in 1 John 2:17. It's built on Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:19, the first part of that verse says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Today, it's His desire for you to be saved. You're not saved. It's His desire. He's did all of this down to this purpose that you may be saved. Someone said, well, praise God, preacher, I'm already saved. Then it is His desire, if you're saved, to be found faithful. Because it's only saved people who manifest this kingdom the world can't see. And that's why you know, you know why the world hates the Jew and the Christian the most? Because indirectly, Israel's on the scene coming up, and God is manifesting her now. And the child of God is manifesting the kingdom they can't see, which in turn destroys their ideas that has gone through a thought, a concept, and formed a belief system. And Jesus Christ destroys the whole thing. These are God's ideas in this earth. I'm glad that this book is written in such a way, in what few verses I gave you today, to put together the thinking a little bit about what God is doing. It makes it an entirely different picture than what most of the world looks at. He gives us an idea to start with and a concept why He started it. He's going to take an invisible world and reveal it in a visible world that He made out of molecules and matter. And then He put the crown of that one man, which is you and I. But Adam messed it up. You say, wait, is Satan messing it up? No, Adam messed it up. Listen, Adam didn't have to do what Satan said. He didn't have to do what his wife said. Eve didn't have to do what Satan said. It always amazes me, too. You know, there's two trees in that garden. The tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Isn't it an amazing thing? Wonder why they didn't try to take the tree of life. Until Satan came, we didn't ever have any record they ever tried to take the tree of knowledge. All of that was there. And the only thing God said not touch was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He didn't say a thing more about the tree of life. Wonder why Adam and Eve looked, you know they had to see it. But they never partook of it. They eat of other trees, I'm sure, but they never took of the tree of life. I'll be in heaven to understand what went on there. Because you know they were around it all the time. They knew not to take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but He didn't say anything about the tree of life. But when they listened to Satan took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God said, you're going to have to put them out lest they take of the tree of life. There's something there we don't quite understand completely. We will one day. You say, preacher, well, if that be the case, you know, how we know? We better just listen to what we can understand. I know this, they partook of it, they fail, and so did we come into this world with a fallen nature. God's concept. Idea leads to a thought, leads to a concept, which manifests itself in a matter world. It leads to a belief system. Ladies and gentlemen, this tells us all we need to know about who God is and what He's doing. He had an idea, and it's been developed, and it will be complete. Father in heaven, I want to thank You for the precious Word of God, Lord. I don't know if I've helped anyone this morning, but I've helped myself. Lord, You revealed to me things about You and studying the last weeks of this message that makes You more real than ever in my Christian life. Because we are creatures who have to understand by listening to words and reasoning and come up with ideas and be convicted of certain things. And sometimes the world is very powerful to us in giving us why they believe their belief systems. And Father, we thank You to know that You can just shatter that. You dispel those things. When we come and want to know the truth, don't make us smarter than anyone else. It just makes us want a heartbeat that God has to understand. God, please tell us, show us what You're doing. Lord, how can we face the voices of this world? Unless we can use the voice You give us to explain until Jesus comes back and shows the power what God is doing. I believe, dear Father, what I've said today is a little bit of pullback of the shades of glory to see what God's doing. And as You manifest us in this life, You're looking for fit vessels, Lord. You're looking for vessels that realize when I lay the concept of what God set forth about Himself to this world, there's automatically going to be a resistance against it. Jesus Christ did better than any of us can do. And look where it took Him, to a cross. And God manipulated that and brought about the payment of sin from His Son that we might go free. Dear God, help us present it to this world. Please give us the ability to put it in such clarity that people, a little child, can understand it. Help us have a resistance to the voices that destroy what You're doing. we're not browbeating people, Lord. We're trying to sit down and discuss and talk and use words, because we believe that once your word is given, it's powerful. It'll bring conviction. It'll draw one to the Lamb of God. If we can just give it and intelligently talk to someone on a level of man's intelligence, that the Holy Spirit, when we leave, will do the great work in one's heart to remove that stuff that has to do with false gods and show Christ as being the one, the only name given among men in heaven whereby we must be saved. Lord, what a sad thing that people will hear that over and over. Maybe someone here today, they heard it and they walk out of this building and don't know Christ and still think everything's all right. How in the name of heaven can we look at the facts and they be so real to us, then walk away? It's easy because we've been raised in a society that doubts everything, even truth. Help someone today to see this, either here or by the way or radio. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.